ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Yeah.
In the presence of his ministers, the saintly king Prachinabhaki left orders for his sons to protect the citizens. He then left home and went off to undergo austerities in a place known as Kapilashrama. For poor Prachinabhaki Prabhupada, the word Prajasarga is very important in this verse. When the saintly king Prachinabhaki was induced by the great sage Narada to leave home and take the rewards of the Lord, his sons had not yet returned from their austerities in the water. However, he did not wait for the return, but simply left messages to the effect that his sons were to protect the mass of citizens. According to Veera Raghava Acharya, such protection means organizing the citizens into the specific divisions of four varnas and four ashramas. It was a responsibility of the royal order to see that citizens were following the regulative principles of the four varnas, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and the ashramas, namely Brahmacharya, Ruphastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. It is very difficult to rule citizens in a kingdom without organizing this varnashrama dharma. To rule the mass of citizens in a state and keep them in a complete progressive order is not possible simply by passing laws every year in a legislative assembly. The varnashrama dharma is essential in a good government. One class of men, the brahmanas, must be intelligent and brahminically qualified. Another class must be trained in administrative work. Another in mercantile business. And another simply labor. These four classes of men are already there according to nature. But it is the government's duty to see that all four of these classes follow the principles of their varnas methodically. This is called abhirakshana or protection. It is significant that when Maharaj Prachinabhaki was convinced of the goal of life through the instructions of Narada, he did not wait even a moment to see his son's return, but left immediately. There were many things to be done upon the return of his sons, but he simply left them the message. He knew what his prime duty was. He simply left instructions for his sons and went off for the purpose of spiritual advancement. This is the system of Vedic civilization. Sridhara Swami informs us that Kapilashrama is located at the confluence of Ganges and the Bay of Bengal, a place known now as Ganga Sagara. This place is still famous as a place of pilgrimage, and many millions of people gather there every year on the day of Makara Sankranti and take bath. It is called Kapilashrama because of Lord Kapila's living there to perform his austerities and penances. Lord Kapila propounded the Sankhya system of philosophy.
Mercy,
Even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. Sri Chaitanya Padambhoja Madhupebhyo Namo Namaha Katanchit Ashaya Esham Swapita Bhandabhavave. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances on the bee-like devotees who always take the honey and the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If even a doggish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. He Krishna Karna Sandhu Deena Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Bhutika Tata Radha Tata Sute Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Shukhana Sute Devi Panamani Hare Kriye Vacha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Jaye Vacha Patita Nam Pavane Jo Vaishnave Jo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Dostaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Esha Samyavade Pashyatare Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The translation once again. In the presence of his ministers, the saintly King Prachinabai left orders for his sons to protect the citizens. He then left home and went off to undergo austerities in a place known as Kapilashrama. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to this verse, divides the section into three aspects. One aspect he tries to discuss on the Varnashrama, the necessity in the society for a person to progress on the spiritual journey. Then the second aspect, he talks about Prachinabai's decision to leave his family the moment he realized the urgency of spiritual advancement. So that's the second section, which is very much relevant to the way we practice. And then finally, Prabhupada concludes with Srila Swami's comment that Kapilashrama is located at the confluence or the meeting of Ganges, Bay of Bengal. I think to India, Bay of Bengal on the right side, the eastern side. So somewhere Ganges and Bay of Bengal they meet, and that's a place where you have Kapilashrama, or that place is called Ganga Sagara. Ganga is Mother Ganges, Sagara is the sea. So where Bay of Bengal and Ganges they meet, so that's a place where you have the Kapilashrama, and this place is still famous today, where people go and take bath. By taking bath, it is understood or believed that they get liberated. So there are the three sections in which the Prabhupada divides the purport. Now, when we are born in a family, we are born with a psychophysical body. And the psychophysical body, I think earlier also we had discussed a couple of times, where we have certain thoughts in our mind or in our consciousness. And these thoughts, depending on what nature we have acquired, accordingly if you observe that they can be classified into various categories. The basket of future, the basket of the past, and the basket of the present. Now when these thoughts are coming, the person tends to act on those thoughts. So when a person acts on those thoughts, its impression is created. and that impression is called samskara. And when this, so that's the sugar thoughts are called the vritti, and when the impression is created, it is called samskara. And when the same samskara is repeated again and again, then it leads to vasana. And that vasana is called the tendency of the inclination. And with that inclination, where is it stored? It is stored in chitta. So with, since it is stored in the chitta, the subtle body, the person takes birth with that inclination, whatever is stored. And therefore they get the psychophysical body, next birth. And once again the cycle starts, the vritti, samskara, vasana, chitta, psychophysical body, which is based on the guna and karma, and that leads to once again vritti. So this is a cycle. This can be taken as a material cycle, but this also can be converted into a spiritual cycle, because whatever thoughts I am having in my consciousness is based on what I am carrying from my previous birth. So if instead of focusing my thoughts on sense objects, I focus on spiritual objects, on deities, on shravanam, kirtanam, then that also creates an impression, that also creates inclination, tendency in me, and that's also stored in vasana. So therefore chitta, and therefore Krishna says in this chapter that wherever you have left in your previous life, you continue the next life your devotional service. So this is valid both for the material consciousness and also for the spiritual consciousness. So somebody's birth is not defined based on I'm born in a particular family, in a Brahmana family, therefore I'm not by birth a Brahmana. So the Varnashrama system, you can broadly say that it can be spoken in on three different ways. One, the general classification of the society, what we find throughout the world. So what is the classification? Every society has some intellectuals, there are administrators, then there are business community, and then there are the workers, working community. This is a general broad classification, and this is observed all over the planet, but without any goal of any spiritual development. Nothing is known to them. It's a Varnashankara, that they have no idea for what purpose they are living. They just come into this planet, or come into the human form of life, they while away their time and leave the body, without having to create any spiritual consciousness. And this is what Srila Prabhupada spoke when he had that conversation with Professor Kotowski. So that's why he said that it doesn't matter, everywhere you have this classification. Then we have, in another way, the classification which takes place, not just taken to a root, deep root in India, that is the Asurik Varna, that by birth somebody's caste is defined, or somebody's guna and karma are defined. Yes, I'm born in a Brahmana family, therefore I'm a Brahmana. Somebody is born in a Vaishya family, he is considered a Vaishya. Somebody is born in an administrative family, he is considered a Kshatriya. Although these days there is no clear demarcation, somebody can be called as a Brahmana, somebody can be called as a Kshatriya, somebody can be called as a Vaishya. By and large, everyone is a Shudra. That's what the scriptures say, that Janmana Jayate Shudraha, Karmana Jayate Vijaha. It's by through activity and guna somebody can become a Brahmana. It's not just based on, okay, by birth, I'm a particular caste. But that has been done to perpetuate somebody's control over the society. This we find even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on this planet performing pastimes, the caste brahmanas would put so many breaks to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So that is the Asuri Varnashram. Now what Prabhupada is talking here is not the general classification which is understood in the world, like okay, there is an intellectual class, there is an administrative class, or the Asuri Varnashrama, Varnashrama which we have in Indian subcontinent based on what is called the caste system. But what Prabhupada is suggesting that it should be that the instruction what Prachinabhani left to his children, to the minister, is that the society should be divided in terms of the four Varnas and Ashrama, which is the Daivi Varnashrama. In a Daivi Varnashrama, then this Daivi Varnashrama was created or has been created by the Lord Himself. And what is the goal of the Daivi Varnashrama? That everyone focuses spiritually. That is the goal. Whatever capabilities I have, whatever the psychophysical body I have acquired, I use that nature in order to serve the Supreme Lord. And therefore, no one is superior or no one is inferior in this Varnashrama Dharma. Everyone's goal is to please, or actually Parasamahamani says that the Prabhupada gives santoshani is the meaning. He does not give us pleasing, but he says satisfying. So that Varnashrama Dharma tries to satisfy the Supreme Lord by whatever nature they have. Why? With that nature they work and they give the fruits in serving the Supreme Lord. So when they do that, that is not considered to be the Nishkama Dharma Yoga, but it is considered to be the Bhakti Yoga, because their consciousness for doing that work is to please the Supreme Lord, not that I should do the work and reap the benefit or reap the fruits of that activity. So when I'm trying to do that, then it's a different category. But here the objective is that I'm doing my work exclusively to please the Supreme Lord. And hence in that Varnashrama Dharma or in Daivi Varnashrama Dharma, everyone progresses. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say, that it was the response of the royal order to see that the citizens were following the regulative principles of the four Varnas. It is very difficult to rule citizens in a kingdom without organizing this Varnashrama Dharma. So without organizing the society into these divisions in trying to satisfy the Supreme Lord, the society becomes chaotic. And we are witnessing the last couple of days the chaotic situation in none other than whom we consider as the most advanced country on this planet, which is United States. The way the president of the country says that looting, shooting. So that is the mentality of the society or the leaders, because it has no spiritual understanding. They don't understand that the human form of life is meant for spiritual advancement. But it is, if I go back 20 years back, I too was in a similar situation. It's not that I should try to pinpoint at somebody. Unless someone comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master or a bona fide sampradaya, the person will be lingering on the material platform. We could see in Prachinabharata also, he was given instructions by his guru. And what were the instructions? That he should perform his prescribed duty. And for what purpose the prescribed duty was required to perform? To get some material benefit. He did not understand that performing the prescribed duty or the Nishkama Karma Yoga was meant for spiritual realization. It's meant for self-realization. That was not clear to Prachinabharata, and therefore he was performing all the yajnas in order to derive some material benefit. And that's the focus we find in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, that you perform your prescribed duty not to reap the immediate material benefit, but for self-realization. So therefore, there Krishna's elaboration on the Nishkama Karma Yoga is that first you realize yourself and then you realize Paramatma. That's the trend of thoughts in the first six chapters. But when you move to middle six chapters, first you realize Bhagavan, then you realize yourself. So the focus is on Bhagavan. Once you realize Bhagavan, you automatically realize yourself. So this is the gradual process, and that's the direct process in the middle six chapters. And till Prachinabhaya came in contact with Narada Mahamuni, he did not understand. It's only when Narada Mahamuni gave him the instruction, he understood that yes, he has a goal, a purpose in life, and that is to realize the Supreme Lord. So the moment the person realizes that he has a goal, then the person leaves everything immediately and pursues his goal. Why? Because we are not sure what is going to be our life next day. We are not sure we are going to be alive or not. This we can see in the simple pastime in Mahabharata. Once Bhima was was standing in front of the palace gate. A brahmana comes there and Bhima asks him, what purpose have you come at this time? Because there was sometime the evening. Then the brahmana says that I'm required to perform my daughter's marriage and I need wealth, and therefore have come to king asking for wealth. Bhima said, don't worry, Yudhishthira Maharaj will give you enough wealth for you to perform your daughter's marriage. So he actually says he can go inside. And inside, when the brahmana meets the king, king says, for whatever reason, he says that, please come tomorrow, I'll give you. So the brahmana returns back empty-handed, and Bhim was still outside the gate, and when he comes out, Bhim, with an eagerness, he asks him, how did you get required wealth? Brahmana says, no, the king has asked me to come the next day to take wealth. And Bhima becomes very furious. Then outside the gate, you have that bell, huge bell, which is supposed to be rung during emergency. You can know that Bhima has got the strength of 10,000 elephants. With his strength, he starts banging the bell. And the way the bell was making noise, Yudhishthira Maharaj, then Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, everyone was bewildered and they came running outside the palace and what's happening? And to their surprise, they see Bhim who was ringing the bell. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhim, saying, what is the reason? Why are you banging the bell so hard? He said, I never knew, Maharaj, that you know that you are going to be alive tomorrow, and therefore you have promised him, this brahmana, to give him wealth tomorrow, not now. Then Yudhishthira realizes what Bhima is trying to tell him, that we are not sure whether we are going to be alive tomorrow or not, so therefore I need to give this brahmana right now. Therefore he escorts him back into the palace, gives him wealth and satisfies. So we can see that from this instant that we are not sure we are going to be alive tomorrow or not. So therefore, whatever auspiciousness is required to be done, or the moment we realize that there is a higher goal in our life, then we should with full heart pursue that goal. We have a similar instruction from in the episode of Ramayana also. After Ravana fell on the battlefield, I think all of you must be knowing, after Ravana fell on the battlefield, then Lord Rama requests
to seek guidance from Ravana. And Lakshman was really surprised. He says, from Ravana that I should receive instruction? He says, no. Now Ravana is a different person. You go to him because he is on the verge of death. He is about to leave his body, and therefore you better go to him and he will give you the required instruction. And because the Lakshman being the younger brother of Rama, he says, okay, let me take the instruction from Ravana. And he goes to him who was lying on the battlefield on the ground. But Lakshman did not feel like moving towards his feet, Ravana's feet. He goes and stands behind Ravana's head. Ravana just keeps quiet. He doesn't give any instruction. He realizes that this person is not submissive, and someone who is not submissive is not receptive for knowledge. So therefore he refuses to give instruction to Lakshman. He doesn't say anything. Then Lakshman realizes that his place is not near Ravana's head, but his place is near his feet. So therefore he changes his position and takes the shelter of Ravana's feet. Then Ravana gives him three instructions. And the first instruction he says is Shubhashashi. Whatever auspiciousness you want to do, do it immediately. Don't postpone it. Simultaneously, he also says, whatever is ashubham, postpone it. That's why we said that whenever you become emotional, press the pause button. Do not blurt out. Do not say anything immediately. Wait for some time. You become stabilized in your emotions and then you say something. So from this instruction we understand that whatever is the auspicious activity we are required to perform, that should be performed immediately. Shubhasya Sikha. Because other two instructions are given, which are not in this context relevant to us, but the second instruction was that when you are facing any enemy, you should not underestimate the enemy's strength. You should go with full vigor. Third instruction is valuable for us in our general day-to-day life. Never give your life secret to anyone. Under any situation, never ever give your life secret to anyone. That's the third instruction. And he gives the example that I've told my younger brother Vibhishan how I can be killed. And that is the cause of my death now. I'm going to die. So there are three instructions Ravana gives to Lakshman. Therefore, we see that it is that instruction that Shubhasya Shikram, Ashubhasya Kalaharanam, that allow the time to dissipate so that we do not act on inauspicious activities. So here we find that the moment Prachinabhai realizes the importance of devotional service, he leaves everything. He doesn't even wait for his children to return, and he leaves to fast to perform his devotional service. And this is what we need to take into our consciousness, that the moment we realize the importance of devotional service, we should leave everything aside and give the importance to that. That should be our primary focus. We also have similar examples from Srimad Bhagavatam. That in the case of Vidura, we find that Vidura was in the palace and he was waiting possibly for a trigger in his life. Just as in Pachinabara's life, the trigger happened when Narada Muni gave the instruction, then the illumination took place and he left the palace and went away. So similarly for Vidura also, all along he was tolerating the insults heaped by Duryodhana. But at a point of time, when Duryodhana kicked him out with lot of insults, then what did Vidura do? Vidura took that as an opportunity, he took that as a Krishna's arrangement, and he leaves the palace and he goes off for visiting the holy vows. So that was a trigger. So similarly, but he returns back to give cutting instruction to his brother Dhritarashtra. We should remember that just as Ravana was a very knowledgeable person, therefore Ravana was called Ravana Brahma. Similarly, Dhritarashtra also was a highly knowledgeable person. It is not that he did not know, but in the case of Dhritarashtra, his knowledge was covered or clouded by attachment to his son Duryodhana. Whereas in Ravana's case, his knowledge was covered or clouded by the lusty desire. And therefore, both of them, though they were in knowledge, they could not realize the purpose of life. After Duryodhana died, then Vidura's instruction, immediately he could take it. Because this detachment is gone, or his attachment is gone, he will become now totally detached. And so that the time when the instruction was given, he took it and then he left the palace. We also find a similar pastime in the case of Chitraketu. Chitraketu, after a long time, though he was told that if the child is going to be a source of pleasure, at the same time a source of agony, he wanted the child desperately, he had the child, and the child dies. When the child dies, there is so much of lamentation in Chitraketu. Then Narada Muni once again appears, he gives him the instruction, it still does not satisfy him, he wants his child to come back. And then the child starts telling which life, which father. And there Krishna Chaitanya Thakur says that it's actually Narada Mahamuni who enters through Chitraketu's son, and he was given the instruction. Earlier he gave the instruction outside, but Chitraketu did not take it. But then Narada Mahamuni gave the same instruction through the body of his son, then Chitraketu realizes. So that was the trigger in his life, that when Narada Mahamuni gave the instruction through Chitraketu's son, then Chitraketu realizes the importance of spiritual life and the temporariness of this material world, and therefore he becomes serious in his Krishna consciousness. And I think in 1 week's time, he attains prema bhakti. So that was a trigger in his life, that he became a prema bhakta. Then we also have the pastime of Ajamil. What was the trigger for Ajamil to become serious in Krishna consciousness? It was the appearance of Vishnu Dutas at the time of his departure. Both Yama Dutas appear and Vishnu Dutas appear, and then when he realized the conversation between the Vishnu Dutas and Yama Dutas, he understands the goal of life, he understands what he was doing, and when he regains back, gets back his normal consciousness, his body, he does not even go back to his home where he had his dear child Narayan. He did not go to the family, he did not go there straight. I think he went to Haridwar to pursue his Krishna consciousness. So that was the trigger for him the trigger in terms of the conversation between the Vishnus and Yamadutas that enlightened him, and then he became serious in Krishna consciousness. We also have a trigger in Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada receives instruction from his Gurudev that he should preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. All along he had been trying. He was thinking, let me earn some money and then settle my family, let me do some business and then settle my family, then I can go to the Western world. But it did not happen the way Prabhupada was contemplating. Then he thought, at least let me perform my daughter's marriage and then take to preaching the Western world. And when he comes back home, you can see the trigger happening there. There was once again the communication, quarrel, or you can say that his wife says, Prabhupada asks his wife, whether do you want me or your cup of tea? And the wife says, I want a cup of tea. That was a trigger. It exploded and Srila Prabhupada, he left home. Because the family did not realize what was happening. When the family knew that Prabhupada has taken sannyas, the family was shattered, or the family was shocked that their father had taken sannyas. So that was the trigger in Prabhupada's situation. So we can see that similar triggers happen in everyone's life. And if we are sincere in our devotional service, steadily following the spiritual path, we create a framework for ourselves how to progress based on the instructions we receive from our spiritual master, and we do not commit any Vaishnava trigger. Will come, the illumination will happen. That is Krishna's arrangement. How it happens, we don't know. But that trigger, when it happens, we leave everything aside and become serious in Krishna consciousness. That's a journey everyone will go through. We also find, because we said that one should not commit Vaishnavaparadha, because if somebody commits Vaishnavaparadha, then that trigger may not happen. We find in the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj requests Nath Mahamuni to instruct his brother. Nath Mahamuni tries to give advice, instruct Ambarish Maharaj's brother, and Ambarish Maharaj, how did he respond? He becomes angry. He pulls out his sword to slash Nath Mahamuni. Nanda Mahamuni, being the spiritual personality, he laughs at him and says, you can't do anything to me. I'm not a material body. And then Nanda Mahamuni says, because it was Ambarish Maharaj who requested him to give the instruction, he gives him an instruction. When you meet Yamadhanaraj, you tell him, what is the utility of encountering or meeting a Vaishnava? What is the benefit of meeting a Vaishnava? And then Nanda Mahamuni disappears. The time comes when the brother has to leave the body and he is with Yamadharmaraj. And Yamadharmaraj, before avoiding the punishment, Arjuna's brother Amarishmana's brother says that, can I ask you one question? He said, what is that? What is the benefit of meeting a pure devotee? Then Yamadas says, I don't know the answer. Let's go and meet Brahma, who is the creator of this universe. Maybe he'll have the answer. So then they both go to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma says, I don't know the answer. So let's go to Lord Vishnu. So they go, all three of them, they go to Lord Vishnu and ask this question to Lord Vishnu. What is the benefit of meeting a pure devotee? Lord Vishnu smiles and says that the benefit is that this person will not go back to material world because he entered Vaikuntha. This is the benefit of meeting a pure devotee. So we find in Krishnamurti's case also that he had received instruction before, but that instruction did not make much sense to him. He was only involved in karmakanda activities. But when he meets Narada Mahamuni, that changed his goal, that changed his understanding, and he immediately becomes serious. And without waiting for anyone, he leaves the palace in pursuit of his Krishna consciousness. So what it means is that in our life also, we start a similar journey. Our journey starts when we want to express ourselves both in the material world and the spiritual world, on the spirituality at the same time. So there is impure consciousness because I'm still on that platform of I am mine. And with that I start my journey. And then as I do my Krishna consciousness or I practice my devotional service, I'm moving forward in my journey, and in the process there is a certain amount of purity taking place. And that purity, when it stabilizes at the platform of Nista, then from there on we become much more serious in our Krishna consciousness. A trigger will happen and become much more serious, and we focus more on internal development in terms of chanting and hearing rather than external activities of Krishna consciousness. Right now I'm trying to do external activities of Krishna consciousness, but as I move forward I tend to spend more and more time in isolation, in trying to chant and hear more of Krishna. The second section Srila Prabhupada talks about is about the Kapila Ashrama. You look at the confluence of the Ganges and the Bay of Bengal, a place known now as the Nandasagar. Today is also the appearance day of Mother Ganga Devi. So we know the past time how Mother Ganga Devi appeared on this planet. That the King Sagara had, I think, 60,000 children, and he was asked to perform Ashwamedha Yajna, and in the process of performing Ashwamedha Yajna, you have to send your horse all over the world to say that everyone should become subservient to the king. But Indra, out of fear, steals that horse and then ties it in the ashram of Lord Kapila Muni. And then in search of that horse, the 60,000 children of King Sagara, they reach the Kapilashrama, and there they find the horse is tied, and they think that it is Kapila who has stolen their horse, and therefore they heap abuse on him, and Kapila becomes angry and he opens his eyes. Then all the 60,000 children are turned to ash. When Sagala comes to know about it, he becomes grieved. And he wanted his children to be back. So we know the, I think he performs the austerities, then his son, his grandson, Anshuman, grandson? Then Anshuman could not succeed. Then his son, I think Dilip, then Dilip also, he was incomplete in getting his forefathers' ash are liberated. Then his son, Bhagirath, he performs austerities and pleases Ganga Devi to appear. And but Ganga Devi says that she needs somebody to take her force, and she suggests to Bhagirath that you pray to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva will be able to take her force. And then he prays to Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva receives Ganga Devi on his head. Then he prays once again to Lord Shiva to release Ganga Devi. He releases Ganga Devi, and then she liberates the 60,000 children of King Sagala. So that's the pastime. And we find that even today, people therefore go to Ganga Sagara and take a dip for liberation. If liberation is by taking a dip in Ganga Sagara, one can get liberated so easily. Why people are not getting liberated? Anything, any idea? Any comment? He said that Ganga, by taking a dip in Ganga, you get liberated. Nectar of Instruction also says that by taking a dip in Radhakund, you get Krishna Prema. I think all of us would have taken at least sprinkled Radhakund water on our head, but I am where I am. So similarly, somebody takes a dip in Ganga, he should get liberated. But why are they not getting liberated? Because here we find the pastime, the 60,000 children of King Sagala become liberated.
One reason I feel is once they come out, they get sick.
Yeah, it is like the elephant. Elephant enters the water, takes nice bath, but then comes out of water, once again sprinkles dust on itself. So something similar to that, somebody may indulge in, somebody may take a dip in holy Ganga, but then after coming out, he is back to his normal activity. And therefore, he does get some benefit, but what he is aspiring, he will not achieve. And Mother Ganga Devi, also as a personified, has influence of the root for the Mahabharata war. I say Mahabharata pastime itself. We all know that King Shantanu and Satyavati, Mother Satyavati. So Satyavati's father was the fisherman, and they would allow or they would ferry the passengers across river Ganga or Yamuna, I think. And then once Parasa Mahamuni was trying to cross the river, and when he was trying to cross the river, he was helped by Mother Satyavati. And as they were crossing, Parasramani looks into the star movement, and he realizes that if at this moment someone can conceive, she'll conceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord. And therefore, he facilitates Satyavati to become a mother. And so therefore we find who was born? Srila Vyasa Devi. So they were such great rishis, but just looking at this movement, the combination, he could understand that it's going to benefit the whole world, and therefore Mother Satyavati becomes mother of Srila Vyasadeva. And then Vyasadeva once again becomes the father of Vidura, then Dhritarashtra, and King Pandu. And there we find Bhishma Dev was the son of not Satyavati, because Satyavati's father said that look, only my daughter's son should rule the kingdom, and Bhishma Dev relinquishes his rightful kingdom and allows Satyavati's son to become the king. So that's how the pastime goes. And it is relevant in the sense that today being Mother Ganga's appearance day, so not only Ganga has appeared, but it also facilitated Bhagavad Gita to be spoken, because Bhagavad Gita is embedded within the pastime of Mahabharata. So the place where the Ganges, Prabhupada writes in his comment in 579 in Bhagavatam, the place where the Ganges flows in the salt water of the Bay of Bengal is still known as Ganga Sagara, or the meeting place the Ganges and the Bay of Bengal. On Makar Sankranti, in the month of January, February, thousands of people still go there to bathe, hoping to be liberated. That they can actually be liberated in this way is confirmed herein. For those who bathe in the Ganges any time, the results of great sacrifices like Ashwamedha and Rajasi Yajnas are not at all difficult to achieve. Most people in India are still inclined to bathe in the Ganges, and there are many places where they can do so. At Prayag, many thousands of people gather during the month of January to bathe in the confluence of Ganges and Yamuna. Afterward, many of them go to the confluence of Bay of Bengal and the Ganges to take part. Thus, it is a special facility for all people of India that they can bathe in the water of Ganges at so many places of pilgrimage. So therefore, summarizing, we find that Prachina Bhai receives the trigger in the form of instruction from Lala Mahamuni, and then leaves the palace with instruction to his children in pursuit of Krishna consciousness. And the instruction was to create the Varnashrama, and through the Varnashrama Dharma, that all the citizens are given the opportunity to progress on the spiritual journey. And how is that Varnashrama created? The Varnashrama is not based on somebody's birth, but that's a system created by the Lord, as Krishna says in the fourth chapter, Chapter Varna Maya system. I am the creator of the Varnashrama. So therefore it's based on somebody's guna and karma, the activity. Somebody does this work, and if one can dovetail that work in pleasing the Lord, then his work becomes a devotional activity. So that's the system which the society requires, so that everyone can pursue that and become move on progressively on the spiritual journey. So Prabhupada had the desire to create the Varnashrama society. I think his disciples are trying to facilitate the Varnashrama. And as part of the Varnashrama, it is a simple living and high thinking, that you should have your own piece of land, your own cow, and then whatever grains you get from that small piece of land, you use it for your own family. If anything surplus is there, that you barter it, or you sell it in the market. So that simple living will allow the individuals to progress on the spiritual path. I think something like that is there in Mahabharata. Not really?
Not true.
Okay. I thought Prabhupada has that land, they grow their own fruits, vegetables, their own grains. They are not highly dependent on the outside environment, and therefore we find that there is good environment for persons to progress spiritually there. So typically it's like, they say it's like an agricultural college where you are taught how to develop the skills in raising garden fruits, grain grow, grains, then taking care of cows and so on. And some skills are given, like the skills taught in TAFE colleges here, for example, or in diploma colleges in India, that the hands-on skills are given. Use those hands-on skills to do the small activities which are required to grow grains, fruits, vegetables, taking care of cows and so on. And therefore, you are spending much of your time in spiritual part and less of time in trying to become a millionaire or a billionaire or in industry related activities. Then the other part is that we have a trigger coming, and that trigger would happen in anyone's life if somebody is sincere in their devotional service. So that person, if he is sincere, then as it progresses, we find that Krishna will facilitate that illumination to appear so that the person takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously. And the third section, Prabhupada talks about the taking bath in Mother, in Ganga Sagar, so that how it is happening even today, that especially during the Makar Sankranti time, people go there, present for auspicious time, they take bath, and according to the verse, well, they can achieve liberation, but once again they fall back to material pool because they are involved in material activity. Something similar to that we find in South India is of the Ayyappa people. If you see that, from people from all walks of life, during that 45 days, they put on the black dress without any shoes or slippers. They behave as if they are being the most sanest persons. And then after the 45 days is over, it's like taking a dip in Ganga. They come back and then back to their normal activity. The normal activity could be any. So therefore, that really, it does give them some benefit, but it's not the actual benefit which the human life is meant for. Yeah, with this, I think we'll end the session. If any comment or any question is from
Brother, Brother. You were mentioning regarding Kapila Muni last time when sons of King Sagara came and they practically insulted or they doubted him to be the thief of the dog of the horse. Actually, a few days back on Jambu Sukhani, I gave a class. I said the first time I did the same mistake where I did mention that Kapila Muni actually burned through his anger. But Bhagavatam was corrected by devotees later. The Bhagavatam indirectly says that Kapila Muni didn't burn. So I had the same mistake that happened.
Both. I read it. I don't know where I read. I read the summary. Okay.
Yes. And Prabhupada specifically writes in the purport in 9.8.11 that he did. The personality like the Supreme Lord himself, Kapila Muni, is not by anger. So, because I didn't say
that. Oh, okay. But then how did they become to ashes? That's
so the verse says that due to losing their own intelligence and the mistake they did towards the Kapila Muni, the fire of their own body burned them to ashes.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
So here in the beginning of your lecture, you said the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita Discourse Yoga focuses on the person first and Bhagavan later. And the middle six chapters is Bhagavan first and the person later. So what's the last six chapters, which is Jnana Yoga?
That's the Jnana part. That's the Jnana part. You have the last six chapter talks about the Jnana in terms of that you are not the body, you are not, you are the spirit soul. That part is spoken again. See, here when we say that the first six chapters talks about the process is being described in the first six chapters. What is the process? Primarily it is the Nishkama Karma Yoga. That you perform the Nishkama Karma Yoga or you perform your prescribed duty, and by performing the prescribed duty and remaining detached from the immediate result which you get from that prescribed duty, you realize yourself that you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. So the moment you realize that you are not the spirit soul, then the Paramatma realization comes. That's what Shankara Thakur says, that you realize yourself, that follows the Paramatma realization. So this is what the first six chapters is talking about. But the middle six chapters, it is the focus is on Bhagavan realization first. You are doing direct devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And once you realize the Supreme Lord, then you realize yourself. So then the process of being described here. You have any
question? With the Brahmana's instructions to Lakshmana, it's questionable, but I guess if God Ram asked him to approach Rama, then we can accept that it's genuine. So on that basis, he said that one shouldn't reveal one's life secrets to anyone. Probably can't say that something to do in spiritual context. What do you comment on that? Because we have to express confidentially, and especially if we are associating with advanced devotees or mentors or spiritual masters, we can't keep love. There's nothing like life secrets.
Yeah, the life is there. If what it means is that you should have absolute trust in the person to whom you are revealing. That's what it's trying to say. You should have absolute trust. You are not going to reveal your personal aspects to anyone and everyone, even within the devotional community. You should consider yourself as very fortunate if you have at least one devotee in your life with whom you can share everything of yours to that person. Even one devotee in your life. You should consider very lucky, very fortunate.
Thank you. And also the story of Gandhi's Ganga Devi coming down, there's another version where Bali Maharaj was going to get the false foot on him, and then he lifted the foot and the foot cracked the universe, and then she came in like that. So she's called Shambhavi. So there's different versions, or?
No, the same. That Ganga becomes, see, it pierces the universe, and there with the Karana Jal, Lord Brahma washes Lord Trivikram, and then that water, when it enters the material world, it becomes Ganga. That one drop which falls down from the after washing Lord Sivakam lotus feet, that becomes Ganga. So there is one drop, but here it becomes a complete flow.
Does it come to the earth planet as well?
Sorry?
Does it come to the earth or just?
Yeah, it comes to earth. That is, by prayers, the Ganga is brought to earth.
Yeah, but then according to this story, this, what's his name? Bhagiratha got it. So that's.
Yeah, Bhagiratha, he prays. Because Bhagiratha prays, that drop comes to material world. That's what it is said. Unless you have some years to do.
There is no two versions. recognized as Mandakini.
Yeah.
Mandakini is brought down by our hero. So there is no two versions, it's just divided stories.
Yeah, the same rock. When she comes, and Prabhu said, different names are given as she is passing through the intermediate layers. At one place is called Mandakini, here is called Ganga, and the other place, I think some of the name is also given.
So, Janavi.
Yeah, Janavi. She comes out of the ear of
Bengal is called Hooghly River.
Sorry?
Hooghly River.
Hooghly River, I know. Gandharva Bhagavan ki jai, Chula Lopa ki jai.